Welcome to Guerrillapreneur, the Art of Waging Small Business Warfare podcast, teaching Davids how to defeat Goliaths. Now here's your host, Mark Anthony Peterson.
Welcome back to the podcast for entrepreneurs, startups, and yes, business mavericks. In this podcast, we teach entrepreneurs how to defeat the corporate giant. Just like in the story of David and Goliath, David defeated a much taller and stronger Goliath, not by fighting the giant in hand-to-hand combat, but by using technology. A slingshot. The slingshot allowed the smaller David to attack from a distance that minimized the advantages that Goliath had over the smaller David. My name is Mark Anthony Peterson. I'm a serial entrepreneur and managing executive at Serial Consulting, a leading small business strategy and technology consulting firm. I'm also the author of the book Guerrillapreneur, Small Business Strategy for Davids Wanting to Defeat Goliaths, which is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iTunes. This podcast is brought to you by Serial Consulting. An idea can launch a business, a strategy can take it global. During our last podcast, we discussed why startups should outsource sales. We interviewed sales guru and founder of the Synergenic Sales Group, Scott Sullivan. Scott made the business case for startups to outsource sales early in the launch of the business as a way of building a working minimal viable product, an MVP, before you seek outside funding. If you are a CEO with engineering or product expertise, Scott recommends that you work with a commission-based sales organization that can give you the support of an entire sales team with a cost that will fit within your budget. Scott also discussed how services like his can be easily reintegrated back into your company after it has ramped up and gotten reoccurring revenue. Finally, Scott recommended that everyone seek to be a mace as opposed to a shiny, smooth cue ball. A mace has large spikes and will stick to anything that it touches. Those spikes are your core competencies, and you should make sure that they're large and sharp. Please check out episode 7 on iTunes and Podomatic, or you can stream it at CRO.com. In today's episode, we're talking with Francine Gervasio, the co-founder and COO of Cargo 42, the Airbnb of the trucking space. Did you know that 1 in 5 trucks return from their distribution center empty after dropping off their load? What if you could sell that empty space to local shippers? Cargo 42 has solved that problem. But before we jump into the mastermind interview with Francine, let's discuss what's new in Guerrillapreneur news. First in Guerrillapreneur news, Intel predicts autonomous driving will spur a new passenger economy worth $7 trillion. According to Business Wire, Intel predicts a new quote-unquote passenger economy will emerge to support idle time when drivers become riders. The economic opportunity will grow from $800 billion to $7 trillion by 2050 as autonomous vehicles become mainstream. Intel and its partner Strategy Analytics claim that mobility as a service will disrupt long-held patterns of car ownership, maintenance, operations, and usage. Autonomous driving and smart city technologies will enable the new passenger economy, gradually reconfiguring entire industries and inventing new ones. Intel and Strategy Analytics released a 30-page report entitled Accelerating the Future, the Economic Impact of the Emerging Passenger Economy. And I'm going to put a link to this in the show notes. The 30-page report states that the passenger economy will drive change across a range of industries. Now, I read all 30 pages of this, and I found it pretty interesting. They broke these changes up into 3 sections. The first section was consumer mobility as a service, and they estimate that this section will account for $3.7 trillion as consumers forego ownership as they seek out self-directed personal mobility options. The second segment is business B2B mobility as a service, where freight delivery and sales and service fleets will utilize pilotless vehicle technology. And they believe that segment will be $3 trillion. Now, there may be some logic to that because the American Trucking Association, the ATA, estimates that U.S. trucking industry will generate a staggering $1.2 trillion in revenue by 2026 from the use of pilotless vehicles, making up for the growing shortage of truckers available to the industry. Now, the final segment is the new and emerging pilotless vehicle services. Intel and their partner, Strategy Analytics, believe that this will account for $300 billion when new services for hospitality, tourism, restaurants, and healthcare come online. Here are some interesting facts from the report. Intel claims that pilotless vehicles will free up more than 250 million hours of consumer commuting time per year in the most congested cities. Now, my question is, are you truly freeing up congested commuting time, or are you just giving people more time to work while they're stuck in traffic? Much like working while you're on the plane. Intel also claims that there will be dramatic reductions in public safety costs related to traffic accidents. They estimate that value being somewhere around $234 billion. I have a few issues with the report. The first issue comes with this consumer mobility as a service. I don't think the report truly assumes real life. Mobility as a service works great when you need a ride from the airport to your hotel. However, if I were to give up ownership of my car and replace it with mobility as a service, I would assume that I would need three cars parked outside my home each morning. One to take me to work, one to drop the kids off at school, and one to drop my wife off at work. Wouldn't that be creating more congestion when you have three vehicles going in different directions at the same time versus a single vehicle making the round trip? The second problem I have with the consumer mobility as a service is that it assumes that the pay-per-transaction approach of the mobility as a service will provide the owner or the consumer with more value than owning the car. The last problem I have with the Intel report that claims that consumers will stop seeking to own cars is that it fails to contemplate models where car ownership would actually provide more intangible value, in the sense that these pilotless cars could become the new mobile kitchen. All of us can imagine a scenario where you'd get more interaction with your kids en route to school and work if you didn't have to drive the car. Assuming that emerges here, you can see families making the choice to buy a car with a pilotless option in order to have those precious few moments to be able to conversate around a table in a car prior to going to work or going to school. On the B2B mobility as a service, the report speaks to the growing shortages of drivers in the trucking industry, but it fails to address the underutilization of existing trucks. According to our guest, Francine Gervasio, 1 in 5 cargo trucks are on the road empty today. In our interview, we're going to talk about how Cargo 42 is going to solve that problem as well as integrate with pilotless trucks. Looking forward to that. Second in Gorillapreneur news, Airbnb traffic surges, surpasses older hotel brands. According to data from SimilarWeb, Airbnb, one of the biggest successes in the sharing economy, is now drawing more traffic than any other hotel brand or search site. In the first quarter of this year, Airbnb drew 106 million visits to its site, an increase of 31% over 2016. That's more than any other search site like Booking.com, which is owned by Priceline, Expedia, which is owned by Hotels.com, Marriott, or Hilton. Now, Airbnb has found a strong user base among millennials, the demographic that appears to be more willing to roll the dice on the sort of personalized travel experience that a home sharing service offers in lieu of the more predictable hotel room. As a personal Airbnb host, I am seeing exactly what they're talking about. I have property in the rural South, and we're getting bookings from Australia, from the UK, from Spain, Germany, and even the Netherlands. And that's all because of the Airbnb platform and these experiences that people want to have that are off the beaten path. Go Airbnb. I'm loving it. Third in Gorillapreneur news, Simon Fraser University students launch the Airbnb of parking to rent your parking space. Everything's the Airbnb of something. Maybe I'm the Airbnb of podcast hosts. Well, according to CBC News, Simon Fraser University students Thamer Matter and Baker Al-Nakib have built an app called OpenSpot to help individuals rent their parking spots. After struggling to find cheap parking at the university's campus, the students want to find a solution for the parking problem in Vancouver. Thus came OpenSpot, the Airbnb of parking, which lets someone who isn't using their spot make it available for rent online, and drivers can find parking that would not otherwise be available without wasting time and gas. Launched on May of this year, the company currently has about 30 parking spots and 250 users. The app is already making waves. One property management corporation has already sent out letters to its condo owners strongly discouraging them from using the OpenSpot app. Thamer and Baker, guys, you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. Find a way to co-opt that property management corporation. I'm going to see if I can track these guys down and get them on the next podcast. Fourth in Gorillapreneur News. Have you thought about renting a basketball? Well, in China, they have. China's sharing economy is growing at 40% annually, and the concept, diversity, is growing faster than kudzu. In past episodes, we've discussed bike sharing, pet sharing, home dinner sharing, smartphone battery sharing, and now, yes, basketball sharing. A 30-year-old entrepreneur in Jiaxing, China, launched a basketball sharing concept where it lets the users rent basketballs from custom-designed automated lockers at basketball courts around the country. To rent a ball, users can scan a code on the locker with a smartphone camera, unlocking a compartment holding a basketball. The amount that they pay is about 15 cents for a one-hour rental. Now, it also requires a $10 deposit unless you have a very high credit rating. The only problem that he's having is that people continue to steal the basketballs. So he's developing another service to track and find the basketballs. Believe it or not, Zhulu Kui received $1.4 million in venture funding. Wow. I got to get to China. You think that's an interesting concept? Well, you can also rent an umbrella in China. Shen Weiwei launched a service called Molisan that rents out an umbrella for, again, roughly 15 cents for a 12-hour period. He has custom-designed kiosks that you can scan using your smartphone to release the umbrella from the locker. His problem? The same as the basketball rental problem. Customers retain the umbrellas. I think the best thing for him may be to change to an advertising model and have companies pay to put their logos on the umbrellas, getting exposure for the advertisers each time those consumers use those umbrellas that they've taken from the kiosk. Finally, in Gorillapreneur News, do you have an electric car? Need more places to charge your car? Share and Charge, a decentralized marketplace that connects electric vehicle owners with private and public charging stations, has released an Android and iOS mobile app. The platform, which already has 1,000 charging stations listed in Germany, seeks to support the concept of the sharing economy. In Germany, about 92% of the 45,000 electric vehicle owners have charging stations at home. Share and Charge allows these individuals to rent their charging stations in a peer-to-peer fashion. Through the platform, private charging stations can independently determine the charging method and the price of their electricity, while the electric vehicle owners can search for the next charging stations on an interactive map. On Share and Charge, transactions are handled in a crypto euros and is backed with real euros held in escrow. At the moment, this token, this crypto euros, is not traded and is reserved exclusively for the Share and Charge project, though one of the partners, Xtech, is applying for an e-money license so that these crypto euros can be used in other areas. All Share and Charge users, charging stations, and electric vehicle drivers are given a Share and Charge wallet, which holds real-time information about all transactions, and the money can be cashed in using a credit card or other services like PayPal. the sharing economy is really closing in the gaps and giving a lot more viability to other concepts like even the electric car. Pretty exciting. Now, it's time for our mastermind interview with the co-founder and COO of Cargo 42, Francine Gervasio. Today we have with us Francine Gervasio of Cargo 42, an incredible entrepreneur, serial entrepreneur, and a terrific executive. You speak 5 different languages. You've worked in 9 different countries. You've worked in different startups and logistical roles. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Oh, come on. So I'm originally from Brazil, and I started my career working with logistics, just like in a multinational company. And then I worked actually at the Port of Santos in Brazil. And while I was working there, I used to see like so many trucks traveling empty and so many inefficiencies that I always like thought that I could do something to change that, right? After that, I always had that in my mind. But after that, I kind of shifted my career from the corporate world to startups. And I started working at Easy Taxi, which is a taxi app. And that was like before Uber came to emerging countries. So our target market at Easy Taxi was emerging countries, Southeast Asia, Latin America, Africa, Middle East. So I was part of the implementation and the startup of the company in Southeast Asia and Latin America. And that's when I was initially introduced to sharing economy, right? And that really like opened my eyes, and I really, really enjoyed what I was doing. So that gave me the opportunity to work in different countries, learn different languages, and get a multicultural background. Then with my 2 experiences, like since I was like seeing so many trucks traveling empty all around in all these countries, ever I would go, I would see trucks traveling empty. And after having my experiences working and starting companies for sharing economy from the zero, I decided to create my own, which became Cargo 42, that we're going to talk a little bit more today.
I understand from your background that you have been in logistics pretty much all your professional career. How did you become so fascinated with logistics? How did your interest in those empty trucks take over your career and motivate you to start a company?
That's really funny, actually, because first of all, like, let's say I'm a woman, and logistics is a kind of a, like a manly field. But I've always been like so fascinated with operations and how things move. I remember, like, since I was a kid, I would go like to the airport and watch from the outside all of the logistics in the airport, and I've been always like fascinated. So I think it's just like since I always like seeing like things moving, and I'm a really like hands-on operations person. So I've always liked this field, even though logistics is definitely not a sexy industry as everybody would say. But I see that with the spike like in e-commerce and like all of the growth of companies, logistics is actually like the game changer in every company, because when you look at logistics is not a revenue generating area. So we just give costs to company. So in order to be a good logistics, it has to be efficient. And I think that I'm always trying to improve things and make things more efficient. So I think that's how I connected really well with the field.
So that's why those empty trucks drove you so crazy. You were looking at how inefficient it was to have an empty truck return to the distribution center or to the factory after a delivery was made. That empty truck represented a missed opportunity.
Yeah, and what is worse is that as a shipper, they would have to pay twice, because since the trucking company would not find some cargo to fill that empty space, the trucking companies, they always would charge a little bit more in order to mitigate that loss in case they can't find anything. So not only like seeing the trucks empty, but also shippers pay top dollar because they just didn't have enough volume to fill the truck.
I understand now. Before Cargo 42, companies were passing this excess shipping cost onto their customers. They were paying for an empty truck because the trucking company or the driver was unable to find cargo to ship on the return trip. So under this scenario, that cost finds its way all the way down to the consumer because it was being passed back to the manufacturer.
Exactly.
Wow. So how does Cargo 42 solve the empty truck problem? How does Cargo 42 leverage the sharing economy to make shipping more efficient?
Working for Easy Taxi and learning like how to start these operations in different countries, and deciding like to create my own company, I went to Babson College in Massachusetts, which is the top school for entrepreneurship in the world, with the idea already and to start like developing that with the help of faculty and staff of the university. So while I was doing my MBA, I met my co-founders, Murilo and Alfredo, and we started working together to take the idea out of the ground and like really create a company, right? Going to the second point on how CargoPort uses the sharing economy, we simply went together like friend shippers and put their cargo in the same truck because what you always see is like, let's say, if you see an empty truck going somewhere, you always find a business that is just around the corner that also needs to ship something that probably is going on the same direction. So what we do is that we simply match the empty space with companies that need to ship in a similar direction that truck is already going in.
So you sell the empty space to a local company looking to ship merchandise on or near the return route for that truck.
Exactly.
So in that model, when you match shippers with empty trucks, how does Cargo 42 make money?
So we are a commission-based company. Traditionally, in the trucking industry, you find many brokers. And these brokers, they also charge a commission, but their commission is usually from 20 to 25% of the cargo value, of the freight value. In our case, in our business model, our commission varies from 10 to 20%. So we actually charge a commission from the shipper. So let's say when we set a price for the shipper, our commission is already embedded on that. And when we offer that cargo to the trucking driver, we already got our commission.
That's a terrific model. I must ask, why the name Cargo 42? What is the significance of the number 42?
Okay, so that's a funny story. actually, 42 is one of the codes that the long distance truck drivers type in their code to say that everything is okay. And the other thing is that it's like 42, so it's 42. It's cargo 42 for shippers and for carriers. So we offer cargo for both.
So you have a double meaning. 42, it's all clear. And 42 means technology for both shippers and truckers. That's pretty cool.
Exactly.
I get it now. You're just like Uber or Airbnb.
Uber, Lyft, even Airbnb, all of these sharing economy companies, they take a commission on the transaction, right?
Right, exactly. Now, Airbnb, Lyft, and Uber's target audiences jump right out at you. How do you find those shippers or companies who need shipping services? How do these customers find your empty trucks? And how do truck drivers let you know that they have capacity? In the world of B2B transactions, the target audience is not always as transparent as someone wanting to go on vacation or someone needing a taxi ride.
Yeah, no, you are totally right. It's a different dynamic when you are dealing with the B2B industry. So let me start first with the trucking side. So in the market, there is a supply, it's higher than the demand currently. So in the trucking market, that means that we have more trucks sitting than actually companies trying to ship merchandise. So what I would say is like, finding truckers to join our platform is fairly easy because they are constantly looking for jobs. And to join our platform, they simply don't pay anything. They just send their documentation. We verify. They need to have a registration with the Federal Motor Carriers Association. We check their insurance, their background, safety rating. And once they are okay, they can simply join the platform and start receiving like job tenders. and accept whenever they want. Even like the word of mouth is a big source of acquisition for trucking companies for us, because they're friends, they just talk between themselves, and we're just building a community of small trucking companies, which is initially our target market. On the other hand, when we are looking into shippers, I would say that this is a little bit harder market to tap in, because say many companies they have already, they are trucking companies where they've been using for years. So the best way to get them is actually online. So we are an online business. We are a tech business, and many people like that are starting their company or that are searching for a cheaper price, they will go to Google. So they'll go to Google to look for a freight for a place from X to Y, or a price from Miami to Hialeah, for instance. And that's where they find us, and that's where they become to us. Added to that, we're also working on API integrations with companies to make the shipping process like seamlessly. So the company can actually like have already all their information, their shipping information integrated with Cargo 42, and with that we can automatically get trucks for them. So these are some of the sources. And I would say also that since we have been operating in Miami, and Miami is a big trade hub where there's a lot of import and export going on, freight forwarders, they are a big portion of our customers. For those that are not familiar with the concept of a freight forwarder is a kind of an agent that arranges all the import or export process. So that person will arrange, for instance, I'm going to give an example. Let's say that I want to export coffee from Brazil to the U.S. I can hire a freight forwarder, and that freight forwarder will arrange the transportation from my facilities in Brazil to the port. We'll arrange the container, the vessel, and when the container arrives in the U.S., for instance, it will arrange the customs brokerage and the last leg for that merchandise go to the warehouse, and then from the warehouse to go to the customer. And this last leg is where we are targeting right now. So we are working only with local trucking in the Miami area currently.
I get it. So the fact that Miami is a major shipping hub is one of the reasons why, after founding the company in Massachusetts, you and your co-founder moved the headquarters to Miami. You saw the value of being the last shipping leg for major exporters sending goods into the United States.
Exactly. So since Miami is a big hub, and in Miami, 26% of the small trucking companies for local trucking are located in Miami. So this is actually like a big market for us. And of course, Miami is a lot of Latin cultures, and we are Latin founders. We have more connections in Miami. So that was also one of the reasons. And the third reason is also like because Miami is becoming a huge entrepreneurial city. Just 2 weeks ago, Miami has been recognized as number one at the Foundation Index for Entrepreneurship, which means that Miami last year has been the city number one in the creation of new companies. So since the entrepreneurial scene is been growing a lot as well, we've been getting a lot of support from the community and also from the government, because the government has been supporting a lot of startups and making partnerships with them. And transportation is the biggest industry in Miami as well. So even though everybody will think like, oh yeah, real estate, tourism, parties, actually transportation is a very big thing in Miami, since we have three ports, two airports, and a lot of things coming and going from the Americas and from America to South America, Latin America, and there we go.
With that strategy, when you maximize your business model in the Miami port, you should be able to replicate it in other ports in the United States.
There you are, and that's exactly our strategy.
That B2B strategy makes sense. Are you considering any C2C or B2C delivery models where you would use your infrastructure to crowdsource individuals with space in their cars or vans to deliver smaller packages, like the Dublin-based company Zenfast?
So, like, we have constantly people coming and looking for, can I move a couch, or can I move some boxes from my house? but I'm going to be very honest to you. When you are starting a company, one thing that you cannot lose is focus. So sometimes it's very easy to get distracted by all these opportunities that can come. But if you really don't focus on what you're trying to do, you're not going to be able to do it. So what we're doing is really focusing in the B2B market to have it running smooth. And let's say when that thing is consolidated, if there are more opportunities in the future, that can grow. But there are already some other players doing similar things in the market. Right now, currently, our focus 100% is in B2B, local trucking, focus in trade.
That's a perfect lesson for entrepreneurs to understand, that there are tons of opportunities that may be in and around the target niche where they've launched their company, but it's very hard even for the corporate giants to take on more than one focal point, let alone a startup that has limited resources to take on multiple focal points.
Yeah, I mean, we have opportunities coming to us every day, you know, and sometimes you're caught up in a meeting, like 2 hours discussing opportunities, and then you actually lost 2 hours of things that you could be doing, like trying to get customers that would really matter to get a result in that month. Because when you're starting a company, like every day matters. Every single hour that you are doing your work matters, and the impact of your actions, they come straight away. So the more you focus, the better is the result that you can get.
With your B2B focus, do you think you're going to be able to maintain your value proposition of rates lower than the national commission-based shippers as you roll out across the country?
Yeah, so since we can use the sharing economy to leverage the efficiency of the market, this is definitely a differential in our company that can help us to scale, right? And as I said, like the idea is, if that truck is coming empty, why not bring in someone else and then both pay less and you earn more? So that's exactly the rationale of how we operate.
Your current operating footprint is in the Miami, Florida area, targeting local shippers as you push to build a minimum viable product, or MVP, that you can take to other ports?
We are not doing only Miami, but we have already started doing Orlando and Sarasota. So our idea is to go expanding little by little, because currently we have limited resources. And as I said, focus is really important. So we are really focused in Florida and getting the Florida market before expanding.
You mentioned limited funds. I think I read in an article that so far Cargo 42 is self-funded and that you have not tapped into venture funding. With a business model as dynamic as yours, I would think that venture capitalists would be beating down your doors. Are you not seeking venture funding right now?
So we're going to start looking for funding shortly, but we still didn't put our time on that. Again, like going to the focus thing, because we really wanted to get our model up and running, getting customers, having the operations running, making the improvements in our product, in our platform, getting all the feedback needed before we could go for funding. Added to that, also getting like the first integrations, API integrations running, so we could actually scale. So that has been the focus, and that's why we haven't gone for funding. But I would say that this moment is coming close.
I think most entrepreneurs now realize that you have to have that minimum viable product to get the best venture funding terms. And you just laid out your plan to build a MVP so that you can tell a story of scalability to your funding partners.
Exactly. Like, just to add that, I've seen so many entrepreneurs that have an idea and think that they're going to raise funding just to take their idea out of the ground. I honestly haven't met any entrepreneur that could do this. And if you know any, I'd love to get to know that person. Yeah. So I would say, before I go for funding, you need to have results. You need to have at least a good amount of customers that are recurrent and that have proved that your model works.
Now, with your background, you've worked in 9 different countries and speak 5 languages. I'm still working on English. Do you ever see a day where Cargo 42 will be an international company?
Yeah, I see this as a global company, actually. Latin America is a next step, probably. But as I said, since I've worked in so many places and I've always been so curious and worked with logistics, trucks are empty everywhere, you know? Like, even if you go to the most developed countries, for instance, I have worked with logistics in Australia, and even there was still a lot of inefficiencies in the market. So, of course, that when you go to emerging countries, the opportunity is even bigger. In Brazil, for instance, for every 2 trucks that you see in the street, 1 is empty. 48% of the trucks, they travel empty every day in the country. So that's definitely a concept that has to be brought like globally, that every single country in the world needs.
You're right. That's a huge market. But as you move outside of the Florida area, how will you get those shippers to continue to take Cargo 42 serious? A lot of entrepreneurs have great ideas, but they struggle at getting traction in the market and at getting the attention of major corporations. How did you succeed in getting 85 shipping companies and 380 carriers to take your company serious?
Yeah, so it's a very difficult job that you need to be working daily, but what you need, like, to scale, actually. So when you think about a platform business, sharing economy kind of business, you always have 2 sides of your platform, right? And you are always going to have 1 side that is the hardest one. And in our case, as I said, the hardest one is to get the shippers. That said, the strategy to get the shippers must be very clear. And if you don't find the right formula to be able to expand in an easy way, you are not going to be successful in the expansion of your platform business, right? So what we have been constantly doing and what we're trying to do is the integrations that I mentioned to you, because today most of the businesses they use any kind of system. So our idea is to actually create a very, very simple integration, like a very simple API that can get integrated with different shippers systems, so they don't need to do their work. They can actually forget about their logistics and focus their job in different things, while they will just integrate and we're going to receive their orders automatically. So that's our strategy growth. So I would say that instead of going from 1-to-1, you can actually integrate with many.
What I take from that is that you've done the homework to understand exactly what your target audience, that difficult segment, needs to make their workflow tie seamlessly into Cargo 42. You've made it easy for that difficult group to see how your technology can save them time and help them make more money. It's a no-brainer for them at that point to switch from the status quo to your solution.
Yeah, definitely. And the value proposition is not only the cost, but also like avoiding a lot of rework from the shipper side, right? Because currently, if you look at the U.S. market, like for trucking, the market's really fragmented. 90% of the trucking companies, they are owned by companies that have less than 6 trucks. That means that these trucking companies, they are really small and they operate in a very archaic way. Phone calls, paperwork, there is like no technology involved, which means that on the other side, from the shipper side, you also need to have someone that is going to be operating in an archaic way, that is going to be doing phone calls, sending fax, paying by check. So that's also like what we're bringing. This is like such a traditional industry, and we are just trying to bring the innovation that has been happening everywhere that still hasn't got to this industry, right? So a shipper now, instead of like having to call and maybe having some mistakes, sending tons of paperwork, can get their paperwork done automatically with our system. Like they can just simply by inputting address, time, and the cargo information, we create a delivery order for them automatically, which avoids their work to write a delivery order. They can track, they can know exactly where their cargo is instead of having to call the agent or the broker or even the driver asking why he's late. They can simply like look at the map and find the GPS where the truck is. So these are also benefits that that the shippers face, right? That today they don't have, because both of the companies, they are really small and they simply can't offer that to them.
That's tremendous. Cargo 42 is the bridge technology between the small shippers and the small trucking companies who make up 90% of this market. You provide a ton of data and give them transparency into their workflow. That's a huge step up from the paper-based world that they are operating in now. I understand how important this transparency is. In a startup I was involved in the HR space, we found that customers wanted to know exactly when a potential hire had completed a drug test and what the outcome of that drug test was. Knowing that info sooner let them initiate the next step in the process, reducing the time to hire. You're giving both sides, the shippers and the truckers, valuable insights that they can use to make decisions and to reduce rework. Now that's how you beat the corporate giants.
Exactly.
That's exciting stuff. I keep telling my audience that if you're a startup, invest in slingshot technology, disruptive technology that lets you price or serve at a level equal to or better than the corporate giants. Cargo 42 has done that. Cargo 42 is giving small shippers and small trucking companies who can't afford the technology infrastructure that FedEx has and has had to invest billions to build, you're providing that for free. Cargo 42 is going to disrupt this market. No wonder they're calling you guys the Uber of the trucking space.
We are working hard for that.
Are there any testimonials that you can share with us from customers who have used your platform?
So we have, for instance, like paper wholesaler, and in this company, like they have 10 employees, and they simply do not have staff to take care of logistics. So in that case, the receptionist is the one that was actually initially calling the truck, like calling the drivers to go come and pick up. But she did not have time to do her other work because she was a receptionist, like in charge of the transportation, but also of all the other tasks that she had to do in the company. So what she told us is like when she started using Cargo 42, her life got much better because she got a lot of time just to really focus on the things that really matter for her, because she didn't have to spend that much time on the phone or trying to get a quote. Because we give upfront pricing, she just input while she's still on the computer doing her other stuff. She receives a notification. She doesn't even need to get the phone and call anyone. So that's a great example of how we can make like the life of shippers easier.
Right. You just gave that company one half of a full-time equivalent back because of your platform.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of what we're doing, right? And I think like technology is here to make our life easier. Like many people, they come and ask me, so what is going to happen when all these driverless trucks come into the industry? How is your world going to be? And then what I always say is like, it's all part of the transformation. The jobs, they're not going to end. They're just going to change. So what Cargo 42 is doing is actually being a change agent, and we're helping for when these major changes come. Because for now, many people, they just do things by phone or by email, but they do not have a lot of contact with technology. With our platform, everything is integrated. So if in the future you have a driverless truck, it's much easier, the data entry, because you have already all of the information is stored in one system. You don't need to restart from zero. You are already one step ahead.
Wow. So driverless trucks are not going to change your business model. In fact, driverless trucks will drive demand for your platform, as smaller truckers and shippers will need to integrate in order to stay in business. You're ahead of the curve. I must ask, you mentioned earlier that logistics is typically a male-dominated field. What has your experience been? A female in a male-dominated sector co-founding a tech startup and disrupting a traditionally paper-based industry?
I would say that sometimes it's easier and sometimes it's harder. It's easier sometimes because people actually, they respect you more once you are there, you know, because since it's not very common to find females in this industry, they see that if you are there and if you are like craving your career and craving your way, you deserve respect and people actually listen more to you. But of course, like on the other hand, there is still like those very traditional people. And my other two co-founders, they are males, and that's actually like the importance of the team because we can have that balance. So whenever, like, of course, that some places like that is actually like better to have a man dealing with the situation. For instance, if we're gonna go to a truck stop and talk to drivers or things related to that, then it'll be easier, like, to get a man. Because you can, like, speak more, like, in a kind of bro language and can make things easier. On the other way, when you're going for more strategic partnerships and even, like, the government, trade and logistics things, even though the majority are male, they really respect that the females that are in the industry. But, you know, like, even back when I was working in Santos, in the Santos port, I used to go up in the vessels and talk to crews and be in the warehouse, and I was not afraid. And you just, like, crave your own way. And you get respect by the way you act and by the results that you bring.
As an African-American in the tech space, I completely understand the need to have a diverse team as you try to disrupt a traditional industry. What additional advice would you give a female entrepreneur looking to start a tech company or who just wants to work in logistics?
Mm-hmm. I would say, like, be strong. Because sometimes, I mean, overall, as an entrepreneur, right? So every entrepreneur has to be strong because, of course, there are many things that will just make you give up, but on the next day, you're going to feel great. And if you're a woman entrepreneur, you know, like, there are many, many resources that are actually directed to women entrepreneurs. And if you can find the resources, you can actually can get benefits. There are benefits from the government. There are some grants. There are accelerators. I was part of a female accelerator in Boston and in Miami, the WIN Lab, that is backed by Babson College. And they gave a tremendous help. There, you can actually, like, look for women that are in high positions in the company. They can actually, like, be more helpful to you because of, like, sisterhood and things related to that. So I would say leverage the fact of you are a woman and try to get resources that actually can put in a light spot because of that.
Are there any resources that you've tapped into as a female entrepreneur that have had a significant impact on your career or your ability to get Cargo 42 off the ground?
So the accelerator that I was part of, the WIN Lab, actually, like, really helped me to create my initial MVP. So they gave me all the resources that I needed. And, like, since they were a female accelerator, as I said, they can, like, it's easier to get really top-notch women that are willing to help because they see how difficult it is for women to get in the market. So these women, they are actually, like, really helpful, and they can introduce you to big people that can make things happen. Another thing that happened to me was last year I visited a business development woman in a logistics company in Miami. And we got such a nice connection that she later introduced me to 5 new customers. So because she said, I know you're a woman. I know it's not easy, this field. I've been working here for 4 years, and I'm going to help you. of course, like, there are going to be the times that people are going to double you and you need to prove them twice that so they can start believing.
That's great advice. Tap into every resource. Become a part of a top-notch accelerator so that you can access world-class resources and cultivate mentor relationships. Great advice. Francine, this has been terrific. Tell the audience where they can go on social media and find out more about you and Cargo 42.
So Cargo 42 is on the is in Twitter as I am as well. So Twitter is at Cargo 42, or my Twitter is at FranVG. V. Gervasio. I'm also on LinkedIn, available, Francine Gervasio, if any of you want to connect. And in our website, cargo42.com, you can find all the information for the company, and you can send them as email, and you're going to be very happy to help.
Francine, thank you again for being on the podcast. Good luck with Cargo 42. We'll be checking back in with you as we watch you disrupt the shipping industry.
Thank you, Mark, for the opportunity. It has been great. I really enjoyed this conversation a lot. And yeah, I'm going to be following, and I'd love to hear some feedback from the people, from the audience. I'm available to talk to you later. Thank you so much, everyone, and it has been a pleasure.
You want to know what a guerrillapreneur business maverick sounds like? Well, you just heard it. A lady boss who speaks 5 languages and has worked in 9 countries and is using the sharing economy to disrupt the shipping world. In a guerrillapreneur world, if you ain't breaking something, you might be the next thing that gets broken. Disrupt or die.
Thank you for listening to the Guerrillapreneur, the Art of Waging Small Business Warfare podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, you may also enjoy the book Guerrillapreneur, Small Business Strategy for Davids Wanting to Defeat Goliaths, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iTunes. Follow Mark Peterson on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Guerrillapreneur. Now I want to close with a quote from the great Chinese military strategist Sun Tzu. Victorious warriors win first and then go to war, while defeated warriors go to war first, then seek to win. Keep fighting, guerrillapreneurs!